Good to see each one out tonight. We trust the Lord will bless his word as we look at it together. I would like us, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let us just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would encourage us, that Father, too, if there is anyone in our midst tonight that needs forgiveness, that they might know the wonders of being forgiven of sins. We ask thee, Lord, too, that Jesus Christ might make himself known in some heart tonight. We would ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us for a moment to turn to Romans chapter 4. In verse 5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And if we turn to chapter 8 just for a moment. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? A prophet came to David the king, and he told him a story of one that was guilty. And David was very offended at the guilty one. And he said, basically, this man will be executed. He showed no mercy. And the prophet said to him, "Thou art the man. You yourself are the man." And David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And the prophet responded to David's confession by saying, "The Lord hath put away thy sin." It is a wonderful thing to be forgiven. And as our verse in Romans said, David appreciated it greatly. David was a man who fell into adultery, and he murdered to cover his tracks. But he was forgiven. It is a great thing to be forgiven. If I were to put "forgiven" on my tombstone, I would not be the first man to ever have done this. Because I believe it is a life-changing situation to know forgiveness of sins. When we look at this wonderful word, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." He has received a great gift of God. He is blessed. God has given him the best thing that he could ever own, and that is forgiveness of transgressions, of sins, of breaking of God's laws and the results of those laws. That man has received the grace of God, and he is blessed in the sense that he is happy. The happiest life that can be led under this sun and under this sky is the life of a man who is forgiven. Forgiven. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. It is a wondrous thing to have our sins covered. Sometimes we try to cover our own sins, and we'll be dealing with that later on in this psalm. But when the Lord covers them, or when the Lord forgets them, for it says in another place, "I will forget. I will forget." And only God could ever do that. It's very difficult for us to forgive offenses, let alone to forget them. Maybe only if something happens to our mind. But how wonderful it is when God forgets and when God covers our sins. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. In other words, a man that, who does not have to pay. It's not held to his account. How awful to stand before God in that last day when heaven and earth shall flee away. And yet the sinner will stand in his sin before God with nowhere to go and nothing to say, to have to face his sin, to have them brought forward before all the universe, and then to face the terrible consequences of those sins in hell, in the lake of fire. And blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He doesn't hold it against it. He doesn't say, "You have to pay. You have to pay." We know that we are offended very often in this society when we see men that sin and do not have to pay. Everybody rejoices when they have to pay, except the one that has to pay. And what happens in salvation is that we do not have to pay for our sins. Many years ago, we owned a little house in Clyde River. You probably remember it. And we received something called a forgivable loan. That was offered by the government at that time if you weren't as rich So I received this forgivable loan. So we put a new basement, a new wiring system in the house. We were to live in the house for 3 years. And after that, the loan was forgivable, which meant that we did not have to pay it back. Now that is a wonderful little help to us in those years. And when we are forgiven, we basically, the meaning of it is that we do not have to pay back that which we owe. And the debt of sin is beyond our wildest imagination, as is the result of sin. I think of Adam's sin, one sin, taking fruit from a tree. One fruit. But he was told not to take it. There would not be a hospital, there would not be a police car, there would not be there would not be a need for basically the society that we know today, which where law and order is actually based on the truth of Adam's sin and its results. Sin has a high price. Sin has a very high price. Our society pays for that every day, and you pay for it every day, and I pay for it every day. That I was born of a man who sinned one sin that really mattered, the sin that caused the world to fall under the curse of God, and every problem and streak of misery that ever happened since. How awful sin is. And the very happiest man is the man whose sin is forgiven. Right from our birth, the Bible says that we, right from the cradle, we sin. Right from our birth, we sin. We sin against the Lord. May not be to the degree of David. But as we read the Holy Scripture, for example, in adultery, the Lord Jesus taught that if one were to look upon a woman to covet her, then that man has committed adultery already with her in his heart. The Bible also teaches that if we are angry with our brother, it is as murder. So how could we say we are worse than David? If I was to sin, and we think of Adam's sin, where he had one sin, what about if I sin 3 times a day in thought or word or deed? Even just 3 times a day. A year is about 1,000 times a year. How terrible sin. And somebody has to pay. Somebody rams me with their car, and I can be very good-hearted and say, well, you don't have to pay. It's an old car. If it still go. So I drive around with a dinge in my car for the rest of the car's life. If I decide that I want it to be changed, I have to pay to get it fixed. Somebody has to pay. That's the way sin is. And what a wonder to have our sins forgiven and taken by another, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who suffered and bled and died for our sins. Forgiven, having our sin covered. Happy is the man to whom the Lord doth not impute sin. No man, the Bible says, can by any means redeem his brother, that is, to buy him back from the marketplace of sin. Only one, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who paid the price. When he was on the cross, he cried out those familiar words, those precious words to those of us that have already received the forgiveness of God. It is finished. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Before I was saved, an illustration was given to me of the man who could not have his sin. It was actually a woman who could not have her sin forgiven. I believe it is from the Shakespearean story of Hamlet. However, because I have not read or even heard the Shakespearean play of Hamlet, I could only guess. But here is a woman. She had caused the death of a man. She had poisoned him. And she used to walk. It drove her mad, her conscience. Drove her mad over this she had done, as she felt the warmth of that blood upon her hands of another human being. And she would walk through the castle. Isn't it something? She was a woman who could walk through a castle. A woman who had lots of money, but her money could not help her. The blood stain was upon her hands, as it were. When she looked at her hands, she saw stains. And she'd say, "Out, out, damn spot." But she could not get rid of that terrible sin. The man is happy indeed who gets rid of that spot. One thing that I notice here, a man who gets rid of that spot is a man that the Bible says has no guile. That is, he's not trying to fool anybody. That is the most difficult thing in the world. Even if you were to visit Sleepy Hollow or Dorchester or anywhere, you'll always hear men justifying themselves. "Well, I only killed him because he was no good and didn't deserve to live." In other words, he covered up his own tracks and justified himself. If we justify ourselves, we can never have the blessings of sin forgiven. A man without guile is a man who comes to the place in his life, for I believe we all have guile, where he must get rid of this spot. And he knows the spot is there. And he isn't trying to justify himself. He knows he needs to be forgiven. And you know, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, what do we see? Well, looks pretty good. Or do we see a spot that must be cleansed away? If you don't see a spot that needs to be cleansed away tonight, chances are it's there. You're either hiding it or you don't know the sinfulness of sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. David here didn't confess his sin, I am told by the commentators, for about a year. It says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old. So one of the most wonderful things on earth is the conscience, which the Lord uses to draw him to himself. And here's David, and he's holding this in. He's hiding it, and he's hoping it's just going to go away. He doesn't have to face it as far as he's concerned. I'm just not going to. I'm going to keep this quiet. But he said, my bones waxed old. You know something? I believe that a man who's under conscience, who the Lord is speaking to concerning sin, will soon affect his body. It'll soon affect his health, especially if the Lord is bringing it to his attention. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I remember on one particular occasion, by the way, when I lived in sin, I sometimes was having fun, except when God would seem to draw the curtain all around me and put his thumb upon me, so to speak, of conscience. And I can remember holding my stomach in pain because of the conscience of sin. David calls this my roaring all the day long. Night and day, thy hand, the hand of God, was heavy upon me. I could fool anybody but God. You didn't have a mask before anybody but God. For sin must be dealt with. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. And that word Selah, we don't really know what it means. One man said that it was what David said when he broke a string on his harp. But I don't believe that is true. I believe it is more true to say, you think about that. You think about that. Think of the awfulness of hiding sin. And know that it shall not be hidden. It'd be an awful thing if all my sins, my thoughts, my words, my deeds over the years were put on this board up here, on the screen for everybody to see. But David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He came clean about sin. He said, this is what I have done. And my iniquity have I not hid. The time came when it had to come out. The time came when it had to come forth. My health, my mind, my conscience, all of this was before God. So he acknowledged his sin, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I will come clean to God. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. How wonderful it is. It's an awful awful transferal in a way to say, this is what I have done. This is what I've done to you. David says in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned. By the way, I do not think that means that God is the only one to whom we should confess. we have sinned against a brother, or we have sinned against a neighbor. But nonetheless, that is where it all starts. Forgiveness before God. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And then he says this, and the tense changes a little bit. He said, and thou forgavest. In other words, right then, right there, you, Lord, forgave the iniquity of my sin. What a load that would be to have lifted and to know it. But the Bible tells us that God forgave David his iniquity. I think of another word, another line of the Lord Jesus to another man. He said, my son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There are people on earth that we would like to hear those words from. But God, what wonderful words they would be to hear from him. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You don't have to pay. Your sins have been covered. There are about 30 different words that speak of the wonders of the forgiveness of God. But this could not be much sweeter than this. Pray to the call out to God, we read in verse 6. I would like to just look at some other things. You know, we read in Romans chapter 8, if he gave us his only begotten Son, if he gave us that forgiveness, how will he not also freely give us all things? He will. A whole other life begins when we receive the forgiveness of God and our sins are taken away. And I'd just like to mention some of the ones that are mentioned in this passage. Notice verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. What a wondrous thing to have all the security of a little bird in a nest underneath the wings of its mother. It is a great thing to be forgiven and then to have a hiding place. Then we read here, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. He is my preserver. I used to ask a man, just as a way, in fact, I probably asked several people tonight, how are you? And he used to say, well, I'm better than I deserve. Things could be a whole lot worse for me. You know, that's pretty well always true. Because God is our great preserver. Doesn't mean that God never allows things to happen to us. But I know one thing. I do not know where I would be tonight if I was not a believer. I would not like to think about it. The chances are I might be in hell tonight. I might live to be 100 too, but I'm unsaved. Men have done it. But I would not like to think about that. For I know that God is my preserver. God is the one that keeps me. His saints are preserved, we read in Psalm 37. My hiding place, my preserver, my deliverer. Thou compass me about with songs of deliverance. How wonderful that we can sing, we that are Christians. Because not only have we been delivered from sin and have the forgiveness of sin, but we know the delivering power of the Lord from day to day. As we think of a lifetime, we can look back at many experiences where the Lord has been our deliverer. And he compasses me about with songs of deliverance, songs of praise of his workings in my life. We read as we, in verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Lord is our teacher and our guide. You know, I have a very own live-in tutor. The Holy Spirit of God. And he guides and he teaches as we go along the way. It is a wonderful thing to have such a life. One to know the deliverance of God, the guidance of God. Thou wilt guide me with thine eye, and afterwards thou wilt receive me into glory. He is my source of mercy. Verse 10. He that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Mercy shall compass him about. All about me is mercy. I need mercy every day. But I not receive the things that I deserve. I sadly find that after being a Christian since 1974, which is getting close to 40 years, that I still rely on the mercy of God. And there is no lack. He is my source of mercy. And he is my source of gladness. What a place this world would be. To me, and I know that it is not this way all the time for the sinner. But as he considers it, I believe you would have to admit that this world is a place of disappointment, that this world is a place where you might say is dog eat dog. We think of the wonders of evolution, but one of the truths of it is not these beautiful animals we could take pictures of, those pictures of one animal eating another. And if we could see it, one man, as it were, eating another, one man hurting another. But what do we have in the Lord? Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Joy and praise and singing and gladness. You know, in our meeting, we have several ladies in particular that cannot carry a tune. They cannot carry a tune. And you know, we might perchance say, well then, if you can't carry a tune, stop singing. But after all these years, they still sing. If you sit beside them and try to sing an alto or another part, it is quite a reaction. They tend to go with you and then go even further off kilter. But they sing. They sing because they have a song in their heart. A wonderful thing. And I think in heaven it will not be the wonders of the choirs that we have here on earth, but it will be the joyful singing of the Lord's saints who know what it is to be forgiven and all the other things that we receive after we are saved. I have no regrets, really. If I have a few, it is not in God's treatment of me. It's something like my doctor. I often say, if I was as good a patient as my doctor is a doctor, I would be a much healthier man than I am tonight. My great physician is wonderful. Cannot say anything negative about it. The best I could say about him would not be good enough, because he is so good. Well, there was a man, and he came to my house, and he had one of my wife's meals. And he said, you know, he looked at the meal, and he was eating it and enjoying it, and he said, all this, so he looked at the spread that was on the table, and heaven too. And you know something? It is a wonderful thing to know you're going to heaven. But the wonders of living as a Christian is that we have a hiding place, a preserver, a deliverer, a live-in teacher and guide, a constant source of mercy, and a source of gladness and joy and praise and singing. I'd say to you tonight, why then would you cling to your sin? Why do you carry about a load upon your back? It'll bend you down and make an old person of you before your time. Why do you not call out to the Lord? Why would you hide it any longer from yourself? Or try to hide it from God, who knows very well. I pray that tonight there may be someone here that would confess their sins before God and call upon His name. Jesus Christ has provided a salvation for you that you need but to receive. Sometimes we as believers for years carry a load too. We tend to carry along sins. Maybe tonight this might be a time when you would just come clean with something that's just killing you. Something that's just burdening your heart. Something that takes away those other things, those joys, the assurance of God's blessings, and so on. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we would thank Thee tonight for Thy precious word, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man happy and having received all of the royalties and wonders of heaven itself, the forgiveness of sins that was provided by our Lord Jesus Christ as He bore the awful price of our sin. We ask Thee, Lord, to be with each one of us tonight, we that are believers. We pray that we might have the fullest enjoyment of our salvation. We pray for those that have not yet believed. Lord, we pray You would give them no rest. We pray that You would prick their conscience to such a place where they would hold and hide their sin no more. But before Thee, they would come clean and receive a wonderful, wonderful freedom, the freedom of sin forgiven. We just ask Thee these things now and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.